Brothers and sisters, today we find ourselves in the middle of a novena, a nine-day period of prayer between the Ascension of the Lord, which we celebrated on Thursday. I hope everyone was at Mass. It was a holy day of obligation. And Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, and according to many theologians, marks the birth of the church. In other words, we're in the same situation as the 11 apostles in the first reading. Jesus had ascended into heaven, but the Holy Spirit had not yet descended upon them. During this time, St. Luke tells us that the apostles, along with some of the women, devoted themselves with one accord to prayer. Friends, I think it's important for us to learn from the apostles as we continue with our novena. During this novena, the Church asks us to pray, Veni Sancti Spiritus, come, Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to bestow his gifts upon us, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Throughout this novena, it's important for each one of us to pray, come, Holy Spirit. For like the apostles, we too must pray with one accord. That is to say, we must be united in our prayer. After all, division, failure to be of one accord, is the greatest scandal for Christians. It's a great scandal because the church is the one body of Christ. And a body divided against itself is not healthy. In our gospel today, Jesus prayed that we should know the only true God and the one he sent, Jesus Christ. He further stated that knowing the only true God is eternal life. As a church, our raison d'etre, our reason for being, is to bring people to eternal life. It's the salvation of souls, which means that we must bring them to knowledge of the only true God. And this is why division becomes so problematic for Christians, because how can we bring people to knowledge of the only true God if we ourselves are not of one accord about the only true God? Indeed, the division among Christians is a grave scandal because it prevents the church from carrying out her central purpose, her central task of bringing people to eternal life through the knowledge of the one true God and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ. The apostles knew the importance of unity in Christ, and therefore not only devoted themselves to prayer, but to praying with one accord. Learning to pray with one accord takes a lot of humility. And I say this because it means that we must humble ourselves and submit to the teaching of the apostles, the ones who prayed with one accord, and the ones upon whom the Holy Spirit descended, the ones upon whom Christ granted all authority. And this sounds simple enough, yet putting it into practice often proves to be much more difficult. We would, after all, much rather that the church submit to our ideas rather than for us to submit ourselves to her teachings. You know, I encounter this dynamic quite frequently. It's not uncommon for somebody to come up to me to complain that the bishops aren't doing things the way that he or she would like them to do them. And far from seeking to be of one accord with the bishops, this type of a person is instead asking the bishops to submit to their own teachings. They're asking the successor of the apostles to submit to his or her own ideas. And it's not just the bishops who face this type of criticism. You know, there's no lack of people who will come up to me and tell me what they think that I should teach or what I should preach upon. And oftentimes, but not always, these suggestions are the agenda of a person who has a disagreement with the church over a particular teaching. And rather than asking me to teach the one true faith, these people want me to teach their own personal opinions. You know, just a couple weeks ago, I had someone who was upset because I had mentioned holy days of obligation. And they came up to me and they said, I don't think that holy days are that important and that mass attendance is really necessary. And I said, well, that one opinion is not in accord with the teaching of the Catholic faith, which teaches that absence from Mass on a holy day of obligation is indeed important. Theologians call it a grave matter for sin. And Catholics who miss Mass on such days without a legitimate cause are told that they're supposed to use the sacrament of penance before they receive communion again. And I know that's a hard teaching for some, but it's one which we must humbly submit to. And the reason that we must humbly submit ourselves to the teachings of the Catholic Church is because the Holy Spirit descended not upon us as individuals, but upon the 11 apostles. He descended not upon a bunch of people with a varied number of opinions, but upon 11 men who were of one accord. And therefore, we are connected to the church, to the body of Christ, to the extent that we are of one accord with the teachings of the apostles. For it's through their teachings and not our opinions that we come to know the only true God and the one he sent, Jesus Christ. And while it's trendy in our society for everyone to form their own opinions about God, the reality is that those are merely opinions, projections of who we'd like God to be. But none of these provide true knowledge about the one true God. If you want to know the one true God, then you have to be open to the way in which the one true God revealed himself. And God definitively revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not a concept. He's not an idea, something that I have a right to define as I'd like to define him, and you have a right to define as you'd like to define him. Jesus is a person. And the only way that we can come to know another person is for us to allow that person to reveal himself to us. For example, some of you may know me. You may say, oh, I know Father Brian. I know that he likes chocolate. I know that he's a priest. I know that he went to Notre Dame, etc. But none of you can truly know me and enter into a relationship with me unless I reveal myself to you, unless I share myself with you. Well, the same is true for God. And in a similar vein, just as somebody who would go and teach people about Father Brian without first allowing me to reveal myself to him would likely make a lot of errors as to who I am, so too will the person who teaches about God without first looking to the church through whom God definitively reveals himself. And yet people do this all the time. They say, I don't accept that God definitively revealed himself to 12 men whom he called his apostles, nor that he handed all authority over to those 12 men. Instead, they say, I believe that I am the definitive authority on God in matters of faith. I get to decide what God would say is right and wrong. And so thus, if they don't like one of the teachings of the church, they say, well, I think that teaching is wrong, and so I'm going to dismiss it because I don't think God would care about X, Y, Z, and I can do whatever I want. Well, problematically, this attitude is not of one accord with the apostles, nor does it bring people to knowledge of God. Instead, it demonstrates almost a type of arrogance on the part of the person who believes that God's definitive revelation comes not from the church upon whom the Holy Spirit descended, but upon their own opinion. And such a mindset creates division, and it prevents us from praying with one accord. Fortunately, we as Catholics have been given the magisterial teaching office that safeguards the apostolic faith. And as such, we can be assured that we can live, that when we live in accordance with the precepts of the faith, we are in fact coming to knowledge of the one true God. What we receive from the church upon whom the Holy Spirit descended is not a matter of one person's opinion, but it's of one accord with the teachings of the apostles to whom Christ granted all authority and upon whom the Holy Spirit descended. So as we continue our novena in anticipation of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and the day in which our church was established, let us pray with one accord, asking the Holy Spirit to descend upon us and to unite us so that we may be of one accord with the teachings of the apostles, so that we may come to share eternal life, which is knowledge of the only true God and the one he sent, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who pray with one accord.